I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Welcome to The Indicator. You might know Spotify as a music streaming company that will help you make a playlist to fit whatever mood you're in.
Like when you're angry and brooding, and you start walking around in the rain listening to Paranoid Android. Or maybe that's just me.
I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you hanging. I listen to all kinds of things when I am walking around in the rain. But Spotify is also a private company that will very soon be a public company.
And when a private company wants to become a public company, in other words, when the company wants to have its stock traded on a stock exchange so that people like you and me can buy it, there's a process that it usually follows to help make its entry into the stock market go as smoothly as possible.
Spotify, though, is not following this process. Instead, Spotify is going public in a way that no other company this big has ever done. It's risky, but it might also help change the way other companies like it go public in the future.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Slack, where work happens all over the world. No more losing time context switching. More than 1,000 apps seamlessly integrate with Slack, so that's less time jumping between tools and more time getting things done. More at slack.com.
The usual way that a private company goes public is through an IPO, which stands for Initial I Public P Offering. Oh, IPO. And to explain how a typical IPO usually works, Stacey and I are going to use an example.
Yeah, okay. So let's say there's a private company called Planet Money Indicator.
Yes.
It's an excellent company. And it has one owner. That owner's me.
What?
And, well, you know, it's better, I think, if there's just a singular vision. Otherwise, things get muddled. Cardiff, you can be the CEO.
Thank you.
But, you know, I'm the founder. And so I own all of Planet Money Indicator. I have 10 private shares in the company, and there are no other shares. I want the company to go public, but I don't want to sell my 10 shares in Planet Money Indicator. By going public, the company will be selling new shares that will be trading on the stock exchange.
Let's say it's 10 new shares. So the stockholders will now own 10 shares, and Stacey will have her 10 shares. She now owns only half the company instead of all of it, and the stockholders will own the other half. But in exchange for those new shares, stockholders will be giving Planet Money Indicator an injection of yep, cash for new microphones, a better coffee machine, whatever. So, how do we pull this off? Step one, we would start by hiring an investment bank. And you can think of an investment bank as a kind of matchmaker, almost like the host of a dating game.
On one side is us, Planet Money Indicator, the company that wants to go public.
And on the other side are the investors who might want to buy stock in our company once it does go public. But first, those investors want to get to know the company a little better.
And the investment bank already has relationships with these investors. So step two, the investment bank organizes a roadshow where Cardiff, our wonderful CEO, flies nonstop from place to place to meet with all of them for a couple of weeks while I kick back and count my money. These meetings apparently are intense.
They're both grueling and exciting.
This is Kathleen Smith, a founder of Renaissance Capital, which researches and analyzes IPOs. She told us about some of the questions investors will have at these meetings.
Oh, they're going to ask all kinds of things. Clarity on numbers that they may not understand. Competition, how the company fits. They'll look carefully at cash flows. They'll want to know if they can trust management, those kinds of things.
And all these meetings, all these questions, they're necessary for the investment bank to do its job.
The job of the investment banker is to ascertain what investors will pay for the shares that are being sold.
So step three, the investment bank helps our company set the offering price. That is the price at which we are going to sell or offer new Planet Money Indicator shares to investors.
Figuring out the offering price means the investment bank has to gauge how interested investors really are in Planet Money Indicator.
Which brings us to step four. The investment bank will also choose which investors will actually get to buy shares at that offering price. Remember, Planet Money Indicator is only selling 10 shares, but all these investors combined may have indicated that they want to buy 100 shares at that offering price. So the investment bank chooses which investors get to buy some of those 10 shares.
And this is a little controversial because the investment bank's choice of which investors get to buy shares is somewhat arbitrary.
So the night before the shares go public on the stock exchange, Planet Money Indicator shares are sold to these initial investors at the offering price. The next day, when trading opens, the investors have the option of selling their shares on the stock exchange. Planet Money Indicator is now a public company. And if all goes as planned, the shares will trade at slightly above the offering price. Those first investors get to make a small profit, which is kind of like compensation for the risk they took in buying those shares before there was a market.
But as the existing owner before the IPO, I have agreed not to sell my original 10 shares for 180 days after the shares start trading. It is called a lockup period, and it's there so that investors don't have to worry that I'm going to suddenly dump all of my shares on the market and drive down the price.
Finally, let's call it step 5. The investment bank we hired has a few options to help stabilize the price once the shares start trading by buying or selling some of the new shares itself. This is called the greenshoe option, and it's kind of complicated. But here's the point. Everything the investment bank has done is to make Planet Money Indicator shares trade smoothly those first few days. And hopefully those shares will also trade somewhere close to the offering price.
Which brings us to Spotify. Spotify is skipping all of these steps. April 3rd is the day that Spotify shares can start trading on the New York Stock Exchange. But Spotify is not actually selling any new shares. Instead, it's just letting its existing owners sell their own shares on the stock exchange right away if they want. There's no lockup period. This approach is called a direct public offering instead of an initial public offering.
Spotify also is not hiring an investment bank to perform the traditional tasks of setting up an IPO because this is not a traditional IPO. There won't be a roadshow to meet with investors that the investment bank has a special relationship with. Instead, Spotify hosted a live stream presentation for investors last Thursday.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming today, and welcome to Spotify's first Investor Day.
Which, by the way, anybody can go watch online right now.
And because Spotify isn't offering any new shares, its existing owners won't lose any of their stake in the company unless they choose to sell their shares on the stock exchange. That also means Spotify is not raising any new cash. So why is Spotify doing things this way? The company actually released a snappy little video explaining its rationale.
As a publicly listed company, Spotify's private investors and employee shareholders will be able to sell their shares on the New York Stock Exchange instead of the private market. They will also be able to sell their shares at a time of their choosing, subject to securities laws.
Is anyone at the company British, or did they just pick a British guy because they thought it sounded better?
I mean, it worked, didn't it?
I feel sort of upbeat and like maybe I should buy some shares of something. So Spotify is saving some money on investment banking fees, and only its owners are selling their existing shares. Kathleen Smith says there is a trade-off here.
It's cheaper, but it's analogous to selling your own house without a broker.
Since there won't be an offering price set by the investment bank on what the shares are worth before they start trading, it might be harder for investors to know at roughly what price they should try to buy Spotify shares on the stock exchange.
And also, the Spotify owners might not know what price to sell their shares at.
So the first days of trading, in other words, might be a free-for-all with the price fluctuating all over the place. Investors who buy the shares at too high a price will feel burned. But so will Spotify owners who sell their shares for too low a price.
So Spotify says it is not too worried about this. That's just how the market works. And for Spotify, the market is preferable to having a Wall Street firm estimate what the company is worth and then choosing which investors get first dibs. Spotify says it would rather just let buyers and sellers find each other.
It is our belief that the wisdom of crowds trumps expert intervention and that the market price for Spotify will find equilibrium through natural market forces. We set out to reimagine the IPO process because we believe we can.
Stacey and I are literally dancing in our seats.
It's catchy music, and if it weren't, that would be a problem.
And what Spotify is saying in that catchy video is that it's trying to democratize the process of going public. This is risky, but either way, we are going to learn something. If that first day of trading really is a mess, then the value of the traditional IPO process will be affirmed. But if not, if buyers and sellers do arrive at that equilibrium quickly, then the example set by Spotify could lead the way for other big private companies thinking of going public too.
Or maybe other companies will look at all the work Spotify is doing to replace the traditional IPO process and think, you know, we might be better off just paying an investment bank to do it anyways. Either way, we can't wait to find out.
No, we can't.
And Cardiff can't wait to go for more walks in the rain listening to Radiohead.
We've posted links to a few other helpful articles if you want to know more about the IPO process. And believe me, there's a lot more to it than we got into. This podcast is produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Patty Hirsch.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Slack, used by companies all over the world to get everything done, where every part of work, from documents to decisions, is stored, archived, and searchable in seconds. Slack, where work happens. Find out why at slack.com.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. There are lots of places to debate today's issues if you don't mind getting attacked for speaking your mind or asking a simple question. But 1A is different. You'll find the 1A podcast on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.